What is happening, you guys? Welcome back to the Let's Go Win podcast, where we are here to help you be happy, healthy, wealthy, and get better every single day. You're going to love this next guest, and here's why I know that. A, I was on her show. B, we literally had to stop talking and start recording. I could talk to her all day long. She's a wealth of knowledge, and she brings, I think, this new perspective. It's a perspective that we could all use. And she is helping people all over. Erin Marcus is the founder and CEO of Conquer Your Business, an international company helping driven entrepreneurs and small business owners get the financial and emotional freedom they need to build a business and a life they're proud of. Having made the successful leap from corporate executive to entrepreneur, Erin uses that experience along with her MBA education and street smart upbringing to help her clients reach heights they never dreamed possible and have fun doing it. And there's no doubt about that. You don't know how to do anything without having fun. How you doing, Erin?
I'm awesome. I always, you know, that I listen to that introduction and sometimes I get very excited about it and sometimes it just makes me massively uncomfortable. But the fact that I don't do anything that's not fun is what helps me in Vegas, because winning is fun and losing is not fun. So I walk away very easily. If it ain't fun, I'm not doing it.
Well, how did it feel today? Because obviously you and I literally, I looked at the clock. I'm like, dude, we got to start recording. You're like, it's not the first time. Some of the stuff we're talking about, I think, is so applicable to business, to life anyway. And I'll just start with, we were talking about perspective, which is one thing I definitely want to get to. But we're also talking about, so often you get pulled in so many ways. And it's like, at some point, you have to learn how to say no, because every time you say yes, you're saying no to something else, whether you realize it or not. And I've been feeling that, and you and I was kind of giving you my feeling. You're like, gosh, that is so true. What are your thoughts on learning how to say no to really thrive in the business world?
Isn't it Virgin Records, Richard Branson? Like, it's his whole book. His one of his biographies, I don't know, is all about how he's built his business saying no. And I think it is... One, I think we want to be nice, right? A lot of times we want to be nice, and so we don't say no. But I think one of the reasons we're, I use the word susceptible a lot as a business owner, because I don't want to say we're falling victim to somebody's marketing scheme and we agreed with their solution. That's not really what happens. When we don't know what we want, when we don't have massive clarity about what it is that we're trying to create and how we want to go about creating it, we become very susceptible to saying yes when we should say no, because we're not sure, right? We don't have the confidence to say no. And there's a little bit of, okay, I don't know how to do something. I need to go find someone who can teach me how to do something. But a lot of times we're saying yes due to a lack of clarity, due to a lack of boundaries. I ask myself, I get real black and white about something. When I'm trying to succeed, I get real black and white about my safety bubble of who I will and will not talk to. And it's kind of like, will it make the boat go faster? Will this move me toward my goal, or will this move me away from my goal? And it's very black and white. I use exaggerated versions of that so I don't get wishy-washy on myself. I'll get to the point where I'll be like, will this achieve my goal or will this mean I'll fail? And so I look for that, right? I use language as my litmus test. I use exaggerated definitions of things as a litmus test to help me keep my bumpers in my gutter so I can keep moving forward and just make better decisions. And a lot of times we say yes to things we should say no to because we want to be nice or what. That's fine. Go make friends. Don't work 24 hours a day. Leave space in your life to go do the things that make you feel good besides your business. But don't make yourself feel good. Don't spend time just making yourself feel good and then lie to yourself and tell yourself you're working.
Yeah. And I think that's a huge part of it is, and again, you and I were talking about people off air and I was like, gosh, I like them all. I want to say yes to all of them. But the truth is, that's not serving my ultimate goal. That is literally saying, okay, I want to be social. cool, but when you're operating this business, does it, I love that question. Does it support my goal? Does right. it not? It oftentimes it is asking those silly, simple questions so much more than strategy and, you know, I'm working on, you know, this new digital marketing platform or this technology. It's like, no, dude, that's just ask a question.
That's all tactics. That's all to-do lists, right? That's not guidance. That's reaction mode. That's reaction mode. We were talking before we finally hit record about how 2023 felt like for me, unfortunately, I was stuck. I felt like I was stuck in massive reaction mode, that I was just trying to solve the problem of the day, that I wasn't out in front of anything. And if you don't know what you want, and the horrible truth is most people have not done the work and sat down and figured out what it is that they want. And I don't mean a number. This is like most of the time, what do you want? And it's small business. I want a $5 million business. That tells me nothing. You want a $5 million business? Great. I can come up with 5 million ways to get there, because you could have 5 clients at $1 million, or they could be paying you $100 each. And those are very different businesses. But if you don't know how you want to spend your day, what type of clients that you want to serve, how do you want to serve them? If you don't put the parameters on what it is that you want and why you're even doing it, you just become susceptible. Like, humans can't walk in a straight line if they're not watching where they're going. They just can't. If you, even if you stared at your feet and you thought you were putting one foot in front of the other, you'll end off to the left, you'll list to the left, you'll list to the right. It's all about keeping your eye on the objective.
I guess what I would say to make those that are like, well, shit, I don't know what I want, because I'm looking in the mirror often when I'm saying this, I can extract it out of any other company or human being.
Yes.
From my own self. Look, there's only so much meditation, sitting by a tree, journaling, yoga, like 3-day silent retreats. Like, there's only so much that I can do and still not have clarity. Yet you and I have a conversation and you'll go, oh, well, that you're saying this.
Yes.
Is that what you want? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
What is that? Is that just, it's the looking in the mirror thing? It's just we don't see the reflection?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I think people beat themselves up over it when truthfully it's neuroscience. It's just like, here's the thing. If everyone's doing this, it ain't just you, then you're not the problem. You're not doing it right. You're not doing it wrong. It took me years and years and years of deep dive coaching, receiving deep dive coaching in order to be able to self-coach even a little bit. Even a little bit. All of the books and the free webinars in the world will not help you here because of neuroscience. None of us can see the forest for the trees unless you've been trained to really, like, to your point. I don't do meditation. There's this and then there's sleeping. Like, there is no in between. It is what it is. My boyfriend tells me I have no dimmer switch, right? I'm on or I'm off. I'm no dimmer switch. But it's just not the way your brain works. We don't hear our own patterns. We don't see our own blind spots. We don't hear what we're saying. And so we don't catch the pattern. That's the benefit of that external person, coach, whatever, asking you the questions, because they're going to pick up on it. And truthfully, it's almost like the less they know you, almost the better, because they'll pick on it real fast. Now, your job after that, though, is the hard work, being open to receiving the feedback and doing something differently.
So that's the part feedback that obviously is touch and go with people. I will say some people, my oldest son, I can scream at him and he will receive it and be fine. My younger son, far more sensitive. I cannot do that. He is not going to receive it. But to your point, however you receive it, I think what you said, that last part, doing something about it. You set up the bumper lanes and like, don't go outside. And this is the saying no. Yeah. This is one of the greatest challenges because, again, you and I do podcasts. We meet fascinating, interesting people all the time with amazing ideas and offers and, again, masterminds and you name it. It's so easy to be like, yes, 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 yes. And then you're like, what happened? Where'd my life go?
Well, and it's that intention, right? And it's, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to build a business? Or are you trying to, which is nothing wrong, by the way, if I know a lot of people who later in their careers literally just have become referral sources for, that's what they do. That's pretty much how they earn a living. Then they just get to talk to each other. Or design your business that way. Design your business where if it lights you up to talk to a million people a week, where that's what you get to do. But do it on purpose.
Yeah, being clear on that, like for me, it's freedom, right? I know exactly what it is. But freedom can mean so many different things. But for me, this is freedom because I get a ton out of doing this. Arguably, I don't make any money at all. In fact, I probably spend money on the podcast, which I do. But I get so much from it. I do meet so many amazing people. That gives me freedom to know, like, wow, my network has grown. However, there are other things that are not trading my time for money. Not a huge fan of it. And so, to your point, I have had to figure that out in this company to be like, oh, I'm so drained because I'm literally trading this hour for this dollar amount. No matter the dollar amount, by the way, it's still not in alignment. You have a subject on here that I want to get to because I think it's right in line with what we're talking about. Obviously, you see the world differently, I think. And I mean that in a different than historically the way business has been run. That's why you're succeeding today. And the subject is why working hard is not always the key to success. Now, generationally speaking, you're wrong, Aaron. This is exactly how you work your tail off and you're going to succeed. That's not really the way the world works anymore. And I'm not saying you don't work hard. Trust me, you're going to have to put in effort, but there's more to it than work hard equals success equation.
Work hard has a cap. Work hard has an income cap, right? To your point, trading dollars for hours has an income cap. Now, the hard work, that's not hard work. Hard work is going against your grain, right? So you could say, for example, that you're okay with trading dollars for hours and you just have to change your business model so that you're working only with people who will pay you enough money where trading dollars for hours actually works. That's one option. But most people don't have that option. Like there's kind of a ceiling there for most people as well, right? We're not, you know, Taylor Swift. We don't have the networks of the people who pay that much. We don't have the business model of the service that could afford to charge that much. But so it becomes a matter of different work, not more work. You have to start working differently. The way that I, you know, going back to my weird tool of using words as litmus tests and exaggerated versions of them. To me, when you are trading dollars for hours and just trying to work harder, you're in growth mode. You're in growth mode. Now, there's nothing wrong with growth mode. But again, it has a cap. Can you move to leveraged mode in your business? Leveraged mode is when you get an additional, and I'm using that word very intentionally, an additional return on your effort, whether return on your money, whether return on your time, right? For a coach, this would be now there's a group program. For a lawyer, a CPA, okay, now there's other professionals in my practice that are delivering, right? It's an addition situation. We go from growth, which is just more money, more clients. It's a one-to-one. Growth is like a 1-to-2. Now we're leveraging my time. We're leveraging my marketing. Maybe instead of just networking, now I'm speaking, right? So am I moving into situations where I can use addition? Now, scaling is multiplication. scaling a business is when we're now reaching mass. Now we're moving into multiplication options where maybe for a bookkeeper, you're adding tax planning services. That's not growth mode anymore. That's not even addition. Now we're talking multiplication. For a coach, that might mean passive income on products. The thing that screws this up for people is number one, kind of your say, what you were saying, they just keep working harder. If you just keep working harder, you're out of hours in the day, out of days in the week, you will burn out. Like, this is not a sustainable business model. It's not a sustainable life model. And the other mistake I watch people make is there's no bumper on the other end. They jump over leveraged and buy into scaling strategies that they're not ready for. Most, not all, don't get hung. That's a key with all these, this tool of using words. Don't get hung up on the semantics of it. Just stay with the theory here. Most scaling strategies are passive marketing, expensive to put into play. They're adjacent to your market. They're not exactly the same as your market. So if you don't have the reserves to handle it, you're out of money. You're spending money instead of making money. You may make a little bit of money, but they won't get your ROI on your money and your effort. So it's not about working harder, but it's also not about jumping stages, which will just make you crazy.
Are you familiar with the book Lateral Thinking by chance?
No, not that one.
You think in a way that is extremely outside of the box is what I would say.
So, okay. So here's where I'm having a moment, because you are not the first person to say this to me. And to me, it sounds like you want to talk about the hard work. The hard work is listening to somebody like you say something like that to me and receive that as a skill set. Now, my old boss used to do it where he would say the thing that you're doing that works so well is you think 3, 4, 5 steps ahead and most people don't. And then he used to say, don't get so excited. You can't help it. There's nothing you did to create that situation. It's just how your brain works. But, you know, live on your show, I'm excited to hear you say that. And yet to me, you want to talk about how to not work harder? Find the thing that you do better than anybody, differently than everybody, and exploit it in service to others, and surround yourself with people who do all the other things.
Ooh, love that last part. I love all of it, but that surround yourself. This, you want to get to both, you step through growth, leverage, scale. You want to get to leverage, you want to get to scale. That last thing that Aaron just said is the key. So, I'll use my company as an example. I was surrounded by what I would call somewhat yes men and women, but yes people, that it was a taxi cab. I was paying the fare. They were providing said service. Very little pushback, very little challenge me on anything. And my frustration level was like, well, wait, we have good content. We have this good stuff, but I'm not actually surrounded by the right people that's challenged me to say no. Because my challenge is everything is good. I'm going to throw spaghetti up against the wall all day long because I have so much energy like you. Not a lot of dimmer here. It's just go, 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 go. Chaotic action. But the truth is, this new group that I've surrounded myself with says, no, stop. Is this in line with what you want, the brand, and where we're trying to go to hit that scalability? I love that you said that. And that's something I've recently greatly experienced. I've experienced it before. Then I lost it, of course, forgot about it. And now I'm back.
Well, it shows up in so many different ways. Like, number one, I think a lot of business owners make the mistake, and it doesn't sound like this is what you do, but a lot of business owners make the mistake of hiring task rabbits instead of hiring for horsepower. Because when you hire people to do tasks, all that does is take the task off your plate and puts managing the people on your plate. Hire for horsepower, who will drive you forward, right? Who will drive everything forward? But it's also who you surround yourself with externally. You know, there's the group of Debbie Downers, and my friend Debbie got mad at me when I said that the other day, which I thought was hysterical. where they're just taught complaining about everything. I'm not saying there's not a whole lot of things. I don't care who you are or what you believe in. There's a million things to complain about right now, right? Fine. But do you immerse yourself in that? You end up believing it. But it goes deeper than that. The thing that I did very intentionally at the end of last year, and it's my focus this year where I'm getting real black and white with who I surround myself with. I'm no longer even surrounding myself with people. And this sounds like it would be weird, but I don't want to surround myself with people who are trying to do something.
Okay. Tell me more. I want to know, right? Because you go, right?
Right. Yeah. You would think you would want, but here's the problem. Most of those people, and this is where I would get stuck, start to create this perception, start to create this self-identity as somebody who's trying things. But if you're a natural problem solver like I am, and you take pride in how you're able to solve problems, which means for your ego to be happy, you have to be solving problems, you'll create problems just to solve them so you'll feel better about yourself. And if you surround yourself with people who are, quote unquote, we're all trying, not great. What if you could be brave enough, whatever that looks like for you, to be low man on the totem pole, walk into a room where everybody's ahead of you? Like, that ain't easy. Even for psycho extrovert like me, that's still not easy. And walk into the room knowing that I can help in some way, knowing that I can serve in some way, and knowing that that room doesn't see themselves as trying to do something, but just achieving the next thing, because that's just how that works.
So back to the, I got to go back to the outside the box, because this is what I think when I talk to you, you have a way of looking at it and you simplify it, and yet you bring it from a different perspective. It's not this, it's not just, it's all going in a one system, like line by line by line, this is how it goes. You might go here to connect the dot over here and bring it back. And I think this is what I meant by the book. It was actually another guest on the show that's like, have you read the book? And I was like, no, it's an older book. And it's fantastic because it's like, look, you need both. You need this linear pattern of like thinking, and then you need what he calls lateral, which is like, it's outside. It's not just black and white. There's a little gray, and you bring it all together. But both are really, really important. And I think often I don't have the outside the box as much as you do. And that's why I appreciate it so much. I'm like, huh, even when you're stepping through growth to lateral to scalability, I was like, shit, she's calling me out. She doesn't know she is, but she's calling me out. I have jumped from
growth to
the growth to scale.
Most people do, by the way.
Yeah, I know I'm not special in that regard. However, it feels that way. It's like, dude, why isn't this just sequential? Like, come on, this is simple. And yet you see that pattern so easily.
And I'll use my own business, because this is the problem I had. So last year, and we were chatting about last year, it was just not fun. A lot of great things happened, don't get me wrong. This is not fun. Fun year in business world, right? For a lot of people. I had moved through growth and leveraged in parts of my business. It's not linear and then you're done. It's cyclical. And I got to the point where I was trying to scale certain parts of the business. And on paper, it was brilliant and beautiful and wonderful. And it did not work. It did not work. But I was so in love with the plan. And to your point of saying, no, the people who were part of that plan, that I held on to it probably longer than I should have, right? You've got good instincts, but our feelings will lie to us. So I held on to it longer than I should have. And I had to go back to growth. Growth is the foundation. I just need more. What if I just need a little more? I need more money and I need more clients, because a lot of times a little more money and a little more clients will solve the problem. Business problems are not complex. We think they're complex, so we throw complex solutions at them. Business problems are really easy. you either need more money, right? Or you need more people to do the thing. It's so knowing that I was out over my skis with the scaling strategies going, okay, why didn't this work? It was the wrong strategy for the problem internally that I was trying to solve. I'm like, okay, let's dial it back. And so the thing that I did, right, now we got to take different action. You don't go harder at the thing that's not working. Hitting your head harder against the wall is not the answer. So I looked and I did an exercise at the end of the year that I called, I removed all my dots. I removed all my dots. If the thing that I was doing had more than two dots between me doing it and the outcome I wanted, I stopped doing it. I removed the dots. I removed the complexity. And I focused only on those strategies that got me more clients and more money with the least complexity, right? Raise your avatar, direct marketing strategies. And I completely let go of probably 75% of my marketing plan. And I also contracted about $70,000 in 6 weeks.
Of course you did, because you simplified, got back to actionable results. That thing of letting go, I call it the law of diminishing return. Like, I'm so invested in this project, this person, this idea. I can't tell you how many times things do look great on paper, but in reality, no, it was a pile of shit.
Right. Well, I Lennied it to death. I don't know if you know the reference. Did you have
no?
Another really old book. I mean, come on. If I read that book in Chicago public schools, right? I don't know how old you are, but Lenny from Of Mice and Men.
Okay.
He squeezed the bunny, right? I Lennied it to death, right? I Lennied it. We just squeezed the bejesus out of the things that we loved until we crushed them.
Well, it is something that I think all of us can appreciate. Like, you put so much into this. You're now emotionally invested in it.
Yeah.
You've dumped a ton of money, time, resources. Letting go is not easy. And it's so funny. You had mentioned 2023. That's exactly where I was at the end. I was like, God, I don't want to let go of this thing because I've dumped so much in it. It's got to work. And the truth was, the best thing I could have done was, like you said, like, if it's more than two dots, I got to let it go.
And it's the bumpers in your gutters that you need for this are, on one side, quitting 3 feet from gold, right? Don't give up too soon. You see that all the time. And then on the other side is throwing good money after bad. And this is probably one of the hardest things you can do as a business owner, is staying in that lane, where you're not quitting to, you know, how in the world do you know? And my goal is always to narrow those bumpers as much as I can through data, not emotions, but through data, by setting my rules up ahead of time. I will spend this much money. I'll spend this much time, whatever that is. Because what's happening is, not only do you need bumpers in your gutters, but there's a pendulum. There's a pendulum that's swinging back and forth between those gutters as you move along. The goal is to not let the pendulum get so much momentum that it crushes you when it hits you. Because it's going to hit you. The pendulum swings back and forth. The more narrow the boundaries that it swings in, the less it hurts when it hits you.
It is so true. And I pride myself on not quitting. Like, why have you been successful?
How is that? Well, I don't know how to quit. Tell me about it. That's fun. I totally agree.
So it is true, because you're like, the 3 feet from gold, another great book, another absolutely, it's one of those tales great that concept. Good money, like, you know, you're throwing money at it, money at it, money at it. And it is. It's one of those. You're not giving up on the dream. You've just realized, wait a minute.
I think that's the key point. We are not talking about giving up on the dream. We're talking about adjusting strategies. It's not right. If you're going to hold, right, the thing that allows you to not quit while not throwing good money after bad, is to realize you're not giving up on the dream. You just might be adjusting your strategy. But if you don't know what you want.
Well, but I think that's where outside counsel, coaches, whomever you have, can take it and say, I'm not emotionally invested. This isn't working.
You need to stop. One of my team members, and I'm so much more direct. She's very, very nice. She's the COO. She's the person who puts my ducks in a row, right? And I was going off about something, and she very nicely says to me, can I reflect back to you what I'm hearing you say? And I'm more like, you know, that is not my approach to speaking to another human being. Like, you know, who are we kidding? But it is hers because she's a much more pleasant person than I am. And she said, you don't want to be doing any of this. You don't like this. You don't like this. You don't like this. You don't like this. And I looked at her. I said, thank you. We're scrapping all of it. I was so head down, blue collar, Midwest. We work hard. I will force that thing into the square peg round hole if it's the last thing I do, because nobody's going to tell me I don't succeed. Every problematic pattern in my brain on fire. And she just, right, you just have to be open to the feedback. She looked at me and said, you don't want to be doing, if I'm hearing you, you don't actually want to do anything. I scrapped a marketing plan, a program, I scrapped basically what I had been intending to be a third of our revenue. Scrapped the whole thing.
Take some real guts to do it.
And never, like the minute I let it go, like this is how you know when you're on the right path. Trust your body. Trust your body. How does it feel? If you feel dread, don't walk down that alley. Don't marry that guy. Don't take that job. That's right. But if you're
it's 100% you know your answer after the decision is made.
I felt so good. Yeah. I felt so good knowing I didn't have to do any of those things that I set up to do.
I do love that. And it actually, again, it's immediate and you don't even have to think back. Now, if you're like, you immediately feel great regret, maybe it's something to take a look at. But all right, you have another item on here, and I have so many questions, but I'm going to try and bring it back. Be in charge, take action, and get results. Yeah. Your name of your company is Conquer Your Business. And I would say that's a pretty good, whether that's a mantra, whether that's something, be in charge, take action, get results. I mean, that sounds like a good recipe for conquering your business.
It's a decision-making matrix. That's what it is. It's a decision-making matrix. Be in charge is drastic personal responsibility, right? Be in charge is make a decision. Make a decision. Take action. More action than you think you have to take. Inspired action. You know, we're leading by inspiration, not desperation. Take all the action. We're not just dreaming. You got to go do it. But you also first have to make a decision, right? If you take action without the decision, these are the people throwing spaghetti at the wall. If you make a decision and you want something, but you don't take action, these are the dreamers. Nothing happens. The third step is get results. You don't get what you want. This is not manifestation receive. This is get results. Get a set of data. How did that work? Analyze, debrief, figure out what went well, what has room for improvement. Circle back, go back to step one, make your better decision. Make a better decision based on the results that you got. It's just a decision-making matrix.
Is that something that you developed? Is it something that you learned through the School of Hard Knocks? Is it a book? Because it's a very succinct way of saying like,
it gets better. That way, because you've noticed by now I'm weird. I use weird language for this, right? So the be in charge, I did not manifest personal responsibility. I had it beat into me by wonderful mentors who were there for me when I realized the way I was working wasn't working. I had it right. So I learned personal responsibility from amazing coaches and mentors. The take action piece and how I figure that out is mine. I look for three physical reactions to the action part. To physical reactions, here you go. Dread, I already discussed. If you feel a pit in your stomach, don't do the thing. That's your body telling you don't do the thing. That's your intuition. I don't care what you want. I'm not very woo. You can call it source. You can call it divine intervention. Call it whatever you want. It's your brain picking up on things that you're not aware, cognitively aware of. Know what dread feels like in your body. It's always a clench. Don't do the thing. Then we have what I call teenage eye roll. If your response to doing the thing is, oh, right? Like, oh. If that's your response, that's work that has to happen, but it's not your work. Get someone else to do that for you, right? If that, clean your room. It has to happen, but maybe you don't, you know, the good news is you're not the teenager anymore. You're the boss. You don't have to do it. If that's your response to it, it's work that has to be done. Get someone else to do it. The thing that I am looking for is buzzy roller coaster. I am looking for the buzzy roller coaster feeling of taking the action. So for me, when I'm at, and I'm old now, and evidently when you get old, you get vertigo, which never used to be a thing. So I haven't done this in a while, but I'm fine in line for the roller coaster and I'm having a blast on the roller coaster. But there is this moment where they put you in a slot like cattle. When I am excited and terrified at the exact same time. And for me, that is an actual vibration in my chest. It's a vibration. And the thing in my brain that I hear is, all right, here we go. Excited and fear, here we go. That's how I know I'm on my growth edge. So the take action part, I'm looking for dread, teenage eye rolling, or buzzy roller coaster. And if I have buzzy roller coaster, that's the path. Here we go. And then it's measure everything, get results. I said before, you know, we have good gut instincts, but our feelings will lie to us. So make sure you are measuring everything so that you can make a better decision.
I love the concept. And you know, it's true though. We are intuitive beings, we are energetic beings, and everything you just said literally is happening if you're willing to just listen to it. How did you decide to go from corporate into the entrepreneur world? What was that decision for you? Why was that your thing? Because, I mean, I know a lot of corporate executives, they got cush, man. They're living the life.
Yeah, you don't want to be the one to tell your mother you're leaving the multiple six-figure expense account paid for an MBA, you know, marble conference room job, because that's what I did. I got bored. Two things happened. I got bored. And I have no attention span. Like, I can't do bored. I can't work to pay bills. It's not enough for me. I had amazing people at the company. I had a great, great career with great people. But as the business got bigger, each role gets smaller. And I was bored. I went from being allowed to do all the things to really having my specialty, which while sounds impressive on paper, had gotten to the point where I was just bored with it. And the second thing that happened was being in corporate, and as our company got bigger, everything started to feel, the work started to feel contrived. It's the only word I can come up with, where it was in financial services. And what I was watching happen was the deals were getting complex. The number of players were increasing only so that one more level can make a nickel off of somebody else's dime. It got right. It felt very contrived. There didn't seem to be that remove the dot situation for me anymore, where I could feel the connection between what I was doing and the service we were providing. And previously that had been there. And so if you combine, and plus I think there was an age thing. I was like 40 at the time. So I was old enough to feel I finally had some confidence, but young enough where I still had the energy. I mean, I'm like this now. I'm 53. Could you imagine when I was 25 years old? Right? But so when you put that together, I was searching. Like, there felt like there had to be something more. Like, I have all these accolades and all these promotions and all these amazing things. And yet it felt very flat.
It is interesting how, again, you have the background of the business, you have all the pedigree, and you use it. However, again, you use the word feeling many times throughout this conversation, and that's really dictating your decisions. That's the one where you're like, yes, no. And I'm not saying you've done it perfectly. You know the crappy feelings.
I move instantly on my instincts. I never understood that. I didn't have the language for that until I met all the woo-woo people who taught me about intuition. I grew up in Chicago. My dad was a cop. I went to public schools in the 70s and 80s with people from 22 different countries, and nobody spoke English and no one had any money. Like, intuition, this is not what we were talking about. I make decisions very quickly, but they're not rash decisions. I think what it is, my college boyfriend labeled me the random thought generator. So, and he's not wrong, because in my head, I went through steps A, B, C, D. I just didn't start talking to like step L. I don't obsess over the decisions. I also don't obsess over the mistakes. I just learn faster. Fail faster. Though my boyfriend now will say, when do we get to learn how to fail cheaper? Right?
You'd let me know when you figure that one out, because I suck at that. My wife will tell you the same thing. Like, all right, well, great. Education's expensive. Look, man, it is what it is.
Right.
Just because you're out of school. You're still in school, so we're clear. Open forum. Anything I didn't know enough to ask you, Aaron, that you want to make sure to share? You're a wealth of knowledge. You and I could talk for hours. Clearly. Anything that's on your mind that you're just like, let's make sure to share this.
What's so important to me, like when you go to like, why do you do this? I think people underestimate how powerful they can be. Like, one of my biggest frustrations, judgments, call it what it is this massive, massive movement, victimhood. And I think a lot of people talk about our world is so, victim me this, victim me that. And I don't mean it in a judgmental way. I want to talk about it in a powerful way. You do not realize how much control you have over your own world. Because most people won't do the hard work to kind of enact that control. But it's life-changing. It's life-changing. I listen to my brother. I listen to very good friends who work in jobs they hate or with miserable people. Or even if they don't hate the job, there's someone there making them crazy. Or companies that you've been with for years that go through a reorg, and now 15 years later, you're out. Like, you don't actually have control. I have not interacted, forget worked with, I have not interacted with someone I didn't like for 6 years. Like, think about that for a second. I have not interacted. The worst case scenario is I'm at a networking event and I'm not thrilled with the person, so I walk away. Like, this is it. I have not interacted with someone I don't like. What would your world look like if you got to have that? Like, even that little simple thing. And not, again, not from a chip on your shoulder, not from a victim-y place, not from a judgmental place, but from a 100% place of empowerment. Like, that's what's available. I know you keep telling me I think differently. I went to Chicago public schools. I did not have an education until I was 37 years old. I just did my job and it opened the next door. And so I learned and I showed up and I did my job and it opened the next door and I asked questions and I tried something different. It's not that I'm such a freaking genius, you know, thank you for appreciating what I can do, but it's not, that's not the secret. I'm not the only one who knows how to do stuff. Like, where are you stopping?
Well, I will tell you this, where you don't stop, you continue to learn and grow. And that's one thing. You said a couple things that I just recap. You're in complete control of your attitude and your activity. How's yours today?
Yeah.
And keep learning.
Yeah.
That is one thing I will say. You know, again, you were talking to a friend of ours that we both have, that mutual friend. That was the word I was looking for. And, you know, I know his mindset, which is always growth.
Yeah.
And so right when you said that, I was like, oh, dude, she's like, and but that's one conversation that I'm sure you had 10 others today, all in that growth mode, which is so key. Aaron, if people want to connect with you, learn more about what you're doing, just like, cool. I want to not be around people that I dislike.
Miserable. Right. As hard as last year was, I was never unhappy.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a choice. Right? You make the choice.
Frustrated. I might've gotten pissed a few times, but I was never unhappy.
And that is a choice that you made very intentionally. But I want people to be able to make the choice. Yeah. Where can they find you?
Make it very, very easy. It is all at the website. If you just go to conqueryourbusiness.com, my podcast, how to get a hold of me, there's free resources there, the connect buttons, the socials, all of it is at conqueryourbusiness.com.
Awesome. Well, I had a great time, both on and off the air. I appreciate the way you show up and all of your knowledge, humility, stories. It's just, look, it's refreshing for somebody to say, I have not dealt with somebody I didn't like in 6 years, and that's a choice that I made. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time and effort as well.
Always. You guys, go check it out. I mean, again, she's a fascinating lady. I'm telling you, full of great ideas, ton of energy. And she speaks truth. I mean, I wrote down a bunch of notes for me personally. I'm like, damn it. Just call me out.
That's the brutal truth, right? Damn it. I did it again.
How did I miss that? Go check it out. Appreciate all you guys. And we'll talk soon.